Helps if you turn your microphone on. So how do you preach after that? It's really interesting, isn't it? It's like as we journey through life together, it's not always a bed of roses, is it? And it's interesting, you know, the verse that kind of highlights in all of the bit that I'm going to talk about is that God would come. Jesus said, I will come and give you life and life to its full. And I'm going, it feels a little bit empty at the moment. But I'm going to use the imagery of the shepherd to try to give us an indication of what that life actually means. Because Jesus, you know, the context of this little story is Jesus healed someone. And remember, there's no chapters in the original. And so we can, you know, chapter 9 flows straight into chapter 10. And so Jesus heals someone and the Pharisees get a bit bent out of shape and, you know, challenges them and challenges them and lots of questions going backwards and forwards. And then Jesus ends up telling the Pharisees that you're a bit blind and they still don't get it. And then Jesus gives this bit around, I'm the gate, and talks about that, and the Pharisees still don't get it. So he explains it again as I'm the good shepherd, and they still don't get it. And later in the chapter, he says it again because they don't actually understand it, because they miss the concept of what it is to be a shepherd and what it is to be a sheep. And in the Old Testament, the shepherd and the sheep was all about the true King of Israel and the people of God. So Jesus was really trying to emphasize something here. And I mean, the imagery of a shepherd isn't actually quite so good for us in New Zealand because of the way we do our farming. I mean, Elaine and I have a few sheep. This year's lambs have been particularly difficult. Every time we try to move them anywhere, words would come out of mouths that are not normal. I think I said botheration once. The worst word I've ever heard my father say is botheration. He's a real man of God. But do I tell a story? I kind of have to now, don't I? Not so long ago, we were moving sheep, as shepherds do. We were trying to get our lambs into the barn, and there were a number of us helping. And so we were trying to, you know, corral them in, and they are mental. There is a sheep whose great-great-grandmother is called Bubbly. It used to be Josie's sheep. She's out doing above average this morning. And every one of the prodigy has been nuts. And like I was standing there and it kind of leapt at me and kind of swiveled around, trying to kick me as it went past. Well, we were doing this. There was quite a lot of us and all of a sudden, one of them just looked at the gate, kind of gave it a nudge and went, fell over and had a heart attack and died. Now, lambs do that occasionally, so don't get too worried. We didn't purposefully... Sorry if I've offended anyone in that. Moving on. Let's just say the imagery of shepherds is not very good in my family. But it's not great, is it? You know, the imagery of a shepherd in New Zealand, you know, the amount of thousands of sheep we have and what that shepherding looks like. But in the time of Jesus, the idea of the shepherd being the one who would lead their sheep, who would corral them and have them in stone-fenced walls or sometimes thorned areas that they would, and the shepherd would lie in front of or beside the sheep and across the gateway of the sheep so that nothing could come in and out. So that's the imagery that we need to keep on. And so what I thought I'd do this morning is talking about, because the scripture about, you know, Jesus says, I've come that you may have life and have life to its full. You know, right through John, he talks about that word life about 35 times. You can add a few backwards and forwards depending on which scholar you talk to. But, you know, with John 3:16, life, eternal life. This one's about life and abundance. That word life is the same life. It's the word Zoe, which is kind of interesting because it's my sister-in-law's name and she is very full of life. But it's like life to the full. What does that mean in the concept and the imagery of a shepherd? So I thought I would look at And as I was reading through this, and look, there's a sermon every part of the part that I'm going to go through, and I'm going to try to do it in a way that's not too long, so we get to eat something later. But I went to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing. So part of the life that we have in this imagery of shepherd and the sheep is that the shepherd is the one who provides life. God is Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. First came out in Genesis, I think it's 24, when God said to Abraham when he was going to sacrifice Isaac, and God provided the ram for sacrifice. God is our provider, the sacrificial lamb that he provided. So God provides for us. It says that we have, you know, we don't have anything in need. It's not everything in want, but it's everything in need. You know, we need to trust that God will provide for us in every circumstance, everything we need. And it's really easy to talk about this stuff, but unless we grab a revelation, and what I was praying this morning is that God would give me a revelation of what this really means, to be able to trust God enough to know that he will provide what we need in every circumstance. So where do we go? God is, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. You know, if you're walking or looking at, driving past a farm and you see cattle or sheep sitting down, you know they're well fed. Because if they're not well fed, they'll still be looking for food and they'll be walking around. So it's a great sight to see cattle and sheep lying down or sitting down because you know that they are satisfied. The Lord brings a sense of satisfaction to us. In our time of difficulty, in our time of need, the shepherd leads us past the barren places. He doesn't necessarily take you from a barren place and drop you magically into a place of green pastures, but what does he do? He leads us through the hard places to a place of green pastures, of being well fed. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores or refreshes my soul. So part of what God does is he comes and brings a sense of restoration. And I feel like the restoration in my life has been so significant of what God has been able to replace in me. And having lost numerous family members and gone through some specific trauma, but then God has restored so much to me. The picture that, and I've probably said this before, and I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself, but on March the 17th, two of my brothers were killed in a car accident, is the day of my youngest daughter's birthday. And I remember lying on my bed and God saying, this used to be a day of pain, but I now make it a day of joy. And it doesn't always look like that to everyone. But that's my story of God's restoration. He leads me beside quiet waters. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And that whole thing, the whole idea of righteousness, that God provides us a righteousness. So because of what Jesus done on the cross, the blood that he has shed, the sacrifice that he has given, allows us to be right with God. And so we are free from the power of sin and death. This is the life that God is talking about. This is the life that Jesus is talking about. The abundant of life isn't so much about what we can have and what we get, but it's this inner transformation that he comes and brings to us. That we have a righteousness that talks in Scripture about having a robe of righteousness that we wear. We no longer have to live under the power of sin and death because of the resurrection of Jesus. He guides us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, that his name would be glorified. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even though we walk through the valleys, and if I'm honest, I feel like this is a valley for me, and having worked with David and Pixie over a period of time, and it hurts. It's actually really disappointing. It's really difficult. I feel like we've worked really well together. David might not agree, but that's okay. But I feel like we've complemented each other well. God has blessed us in what we've been doing and trying to build. We are very similar in what we want to see happen in the church. We want to see people transformed by the living God. We want to see the life come. We want to see people come to know Jesus. We want to see those things. And I'm going, why? But you see, even though we walk through the valley, we don't have to fear that the enemy has taken some control and moved David off because the enemy has had to be able to slash him down because of this. No, I don't believe that. I believe that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't need to fear that the evil one is beating me up and winning. Why? Because he is with me. And his rod and his staff, they comfort me. The rod and staff talk around discipline. The rod and staff talk about the rod that would protect you from the evil one. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. See, I don't believe that the enemy has the right to come and shape us because who's in control? Colossians 2 says Jesus holds all things together. So therefore I do not need to fear. No matter what circumstances come across us, and look, I acknowledge that circumstances when you are in them, they are traumatic. And they are so, so difficult to walk through. But can I encourage you to know by revelation that God is with you. He does not leave you alone. And in the pain, and believe me, I know it, in the pain and the rejection and the difficulty that we all walk through, God is there even when we don't see him. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for he is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Again, there's that sense that the enemy is present. We live in a world that is so anti-God and so angry against God at times, and it feels like we're batting against the brick wall at the time. But somehow we need to get that revelation that Jesus is the one who holds all things together. And although we need to walk through the place that there are things that are beating against us constantly, we can be assured that God is with us, even when we cannot see him. That's the life of abundance. John Mark Comer, who's a pastor in the US, and he's done a series around the gospel and how to present the gospel in this day and age. And one of the things he talks about is the false gospels that have been so prevalent in America over the last 25 years. And one of them is a prosperity gospel that says, come to Jesus and all your troubles will go away. When you follow Jesus, you will be rich. Everything will go well for you. And if it's not, then you stop sinning because God is obviously judging you. It's not a true gospel, is it? Because Jesus said that there will be suffering, there will be hardship. Why? It's going to build us in our faith. And he goes through a series of the things that these false gospels, because the moment things don't go well for us, if you believe in that gospel, then the moment something goes wrong, you're going, God has left me. And to me, that goes against Scripture. Because the whole point is that God is with us. I prepare a table for you in the presence of my enemies. A table of belonging. A table of gathering. A table of food and sharing. Communion. Togetherness. Fellowship. God prepares that for us amongst our difficulty. And you may not feel that right here and now. And I understand that. because we walk through situations that aren't always easy. But I can assure you, God has not left you. He is there. You anoint my head with oil. You reminded me of the time when they anointed Aaron and the oil flowed over his head and down his beard and over his robes. The anointing of God as a priest. And I know that we have, in the Anglican Church, we have priests who do specific things and sharing communion and all those sort of things. But there's also a sense that we are all priests. It says in 1 Peter that you are a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God. See, no longer do we have to go through a mediator. But when Jesus died on the cross, what happened to the curtain? The curtain was ripped top to bottom. The curtain that went into the very holy place, the place that the presence of God was. And the curtain was ripped from top to bottom. Why? Because Jesus is now the curtain, talks about in Hebrews. Excuse me. That we can enter with boldness into the very presence of God because Jesus is the curtain that we go through. He is the gatekeeper. He is the way. He is the one. So we can come with a confidence. That we can come as priests of the living God in worship and in praise to bring life and love to those around us. My cup overflows. That as we come together and God comes and fills us, what did Jesus do to the disciples before he left? He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Spirit." And as we move over this period of time in the church calendar, as we come to Pentecost, when we celebrate the time when the Holy Spirit came and filled that upper room and came and gave the disciples power so that they would be his disciples, his witnesses in all the earth. We are filled with God's Spirit. We are, it talks in 1 Corinthians that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the dwelling place of God. Not just me or you as individuals, but us as a corporate as well. That we are the dwelling place of the living God. The temple of the Holy Spirit. And that as we have Holy Spirit in us, he frees us in having fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. I always miss one. Goodness. Self-control. Self-control is one as well. I try to forget that one. But we need to work at some of these things, it's true, but actually as we live in the Spirit, these things start to well up inside us. And God frees us with gifts of the Spirit around, people being able to do impossible things and the supernatural. About having words of knowledge where God shows us things about a situation. Words of wisdom, about miracles, about speaking in tongues. Things that are impossible to the natural mind to get our heads around. But that is what it is to be full of the Spirit. That he gives us gifts that are beyond our own ability. To prophesy. Don't have time to go into all of those things. I said there's sermons in each one of these points. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. That the goodness of God, the love of God, the mercy of God goes with us wherever we go, allows us to be life and light to those people around us by his presence in us. We don't have to try that hard. If we are full of the Spirit, it will come out of you. As we spend our time in the rhythms to keep these things alive and working, it will come out of you. And it's so amazing, isn't it, when you just see someone and you go, there is something about that person. We had my dad's 90th birthday party yesterday. He turns 90 tomorrow. And so we gathered just a few family members and a few friends and just to gather together to celebrate. And at the end, I was talking to one of my cousins, I think. my cousin's wife. And she said, there's something that just glows out of your dad. And I go, it's God. And he would acknowledge that as well. There's something about people acknowledge something when they find someone who's in love with Jesus. It kind of oozes out of us.
Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and what I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We get to live with God, not just in this life and its pains and its difficulties, but forever, life eternal. And that's the hope that we live in. So Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it to the full. As a shepherd would care for his sheep. And so I ask, God, would you give us revelation of what that really means? That it's not a life that is always perfect and excellent. That it's not a life that is always, that I'm always winning, always on top of everything, always financially stable, always in perfect relationships. Because those things don't often happen unless it's just me. But we get to live with God. That's the life that's in abundance. We get to know that the living God who created the heavens and the earth walks with us, cares for us and loves us, and sacrificed everything he had when he died on a cross so that we no longer have to go through the ritual of killing a lamb, even if it's trying to herd them into a barn, shedding the blood on the mercy seat so that we would be free of our sins. Because there is one. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, there is one who is right, faithful and just. Forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the life that God says is abundant. So if you feel like your life isn't particularly great in a financial world, isn't great in a relational world, isn't great in any space that you find yourself in, it's okay. We need to learn what it is as church. We are so risk-averse and uncomfortable-averse that we will do everything to make ourselves comfortable. I will plan my world so tightly so that I don't feel uncomfortable. Do I need God? There's something amazing when you're in situations that are impossible and then you end up walking through it, whether it comes to succession or not, but you walk through it and you go, actually, I got there. It didn't work out as quite as I liked it, but God helped me. I think one of my greatest prayers has been, God, would you help me? Please help me. I need your help. I need your presence. I better stop or we won't eat. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. Thank you for the imagery of shepherd and sheep. Lord, forgive us the times that we are sheep that just want to bolt and run away and not go into the pen that you're calling us into. Lord, would you give us grace to trust you no matter what that looks like? Would you fill us afresh today? Would you give us revelation of what it means to be a son and daughter of the living God? Lord, that is everything. That is the life we want. That is life in true abundance. Would you breathe your life in us now? In Jesus' name I pray.